saw, I read this about a guy, and it was so good. It should be for Father's Day, but Father's Day's next week. But this is a pre-Father's Day awesome thought. All right? A couple with three children waited in line at San Francisco's Pier 41 to purchase tickets for a boat trip to Alcatraz. I know what Alcatraz is. The prison nobody should be able to escape from, except for Clint Eastwood. Nobody else escaped from. Others watched with varying degrees of sympathy and irritation as young children fidgeted, whined, punched one another. The frazzled parents reprimanded them to no avail. Finally, they reached the ticket window. Five tickets, please, the father said. Two round trip and three one way. It's amazing how the kids finally calmed down. God is so awesome. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to kind of just a little thing to get us through, because this is going to finish up after Father's Day. This started last week. But I gave everybody an assignment. And I just want to see if you've been doing your assignment. So again, just do it. This was last week's assignment, and it's so simple. It's so simple that you can follow. You know, there's some folks couldn't even fall on the ground. They missed the ground and fell over again. Guess what? This is so simple. And here it was. So simple. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Amen? So, I'm just going to ask, you don't have to raise your hands, no testimonies, I just want to know. Because that's like I said, I promise you if you do this, your week will change radically. So let me ask you a question. Did your week radically change physically, mentally, spiritually? Because I promise you, your job situation will change. Your family situation will change. Your church situation will change if you can learn to follow this. Matter of fact, I want to just go just a little bit further, and then the Honorable Johnson is coming up here. Amen. Here it goes. Just another way of putting this here. Colossians. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And there's three words. The first word is words. It's where we get the word logos, but it's the way on by Lego. We're getting the word logos. Lego is not building blocks, although it does build in your language. Amen. It's something that is said, but not only is something. How many's ever met anybody that had this disease, diarrhea of the mouth, constipation of the brain? Amen. They just run their mouth, on and on. And finally, think of what they said. Went, oh, man, did I say that? Okay. This word means something not only that is said, but it's something that is thought through, reasoning. I think before I open my mouth. So whatever I do, word or deed, a thoughtful word or deed, something that I know that it's going to make a difference, and I'm going to try to keep it together, word or deed, and that word deed, ergo is where we get the word energy. It's back to the basic root where we get the word energy, which means to work, to toil. And even as effort or occupation. So that's even on your work. At your work. Don't raise your hand. How many don't necessarily like the kind of job they're doing? Don't raise your hand. Don't necessarily like the kind of job they're doing right now. Do you know how to get a promotion? Work your way out in jobs. Work your way up. You start doing your job like you should and keep on going, you're going to go up. Amen? And if you don't go up, at least you'll spread out. God's going to bless it. So, whatever you do, think about it for opening your mouth. Whatever you do, whether it's at home or at work or around others, you do this in the name. The most powerful name in the world is Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so in his name, in his authority, by his character. And if you do that, something special. What's happening? Yeah. How many times you just say, just do something, please? There's a lot of folks who just sit there and wait till the right moment, wait till the right time. And Ecclesiastes says that that's how you're going to do it, then you're not going to do anything. Amen. The Father looked for the most perfect time to plant his corn. He tries to use wisdom, but he knows sometimes he's just got to get it done. When he goes to harvest it, sometimes he knows he's just got to get it done. I left here a couple of Tuesday nights ago, and I left here like 10:30 at night on a Tuesday night. I've been counseling. I left here 10:30, almost 11 o'clock, and as I'm riding down the Hodgins stretch, there was farmers out there in the field with their lights on.
Wow.
Taking care of business.
Wow.
Amen. That's very powerful. Amen. So again, do something. Here it is. This is it. New Living Translation. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. Amen. Whatever you do. And follow whatever you do and where you go. The Honorable Johnson Riddleson is coming up here. Come on up, bro. Give me the one with the kimono. That is not a house coat, that's a kimono. Give Lord a hand for this young man.
All right. So there's a lot of new faces in here that I have not seen before. I'm John. I spent.
Don't say you don't need it. It's a bit sad to hear you. No matter how loud you are, I can't hear you.
I'll tear my ear off.
Church is a bigger than that.
We'll talk after church. So I spent 2.5 months in Japan in a town called Ikomo, which is right in the mountains outside of Osaka for those who are new and don't know me. It was a work missions trip that fell into my lap that is probably going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'll go back for a week. My wife's not going to let me go for 2.5 months again. That was a very long conversation I had to have with her. But my time in Japan, while it was all work and there wasn't a whole lot of evangelism on my part, I was there to allow the missionaries that were there for the evangelism to go back and do the evangelism. You know, when there's work to be done, there's work to be done, and it takes away from their main job of being able to reach out into the community. So I was there to help alleviate them having to do the manual labor. So while I was in Japan, though, one of the biggest things that people kept asking me for back home, my friends that had encouraged me to do this trip were asking me, you know, what's it like? How is everything going? And they would constantly text me as I was trying to go to sleep and as they were waking up, and I wouldn't respond until they were going to sleep and I was waking up. Japan is 13 hours ahead. Getting over there was rough because jet lag, I thought I was young enough to handle it, and I'm not going to need to sleep. I slept pretty much all day. The first day that I got there, I spent 10 minutes trying to think that I could work. My body said no. Same thing when I came back. It was basically 24 hours of flying time there and back. If you've ever been on a plane and you watch the sun set and then rise again, it's a very weird time to see that, but such is life. But as I was there for 2.5 months, I had a lot of time to think and reflect, not only on myself, but what God, you know, wants for us in life. And I was struggling to find a verse that could really fit and summarize my time there. It was a beautiful place. I mean, you see the pictures, you see everything that happens there. Japan is beautiful. They take a lot of time to maintain their culture, the buildings, the heritage that they have. Most of it is all made from wood. So if you see pictures of things that look like metal, it's all wood, which is a very weird concept to think that their buildings are being held together by wooden nails. And then you walk up to the fifth story of that building and you think you're going to fall through it because it's over 300 years old. I would not recommend it for bigger people like myself. It was a very scary experience. But during my time there, I was able to detox. I know that's a weird word to use in this talk. talking point, but I was able to detox from the issues that were going on in America. My news on my phone wasn't filled with what was happening in our country. I was able to get away from it all. And in getting away from it all, you're able to look back and you're able to reflect on what's going on. And you look back at America, and the rest of the world sees America as a broken country. People see the infighting that happened. They see all the issues that they have. And the world is judging us as a nation. People are laughing at us. People are saying that, you know, we've lost our minds. And as an American in Japan, I will say that there is still racism alive and well in Japan. There were many times that I was on a train, and older folks that were on that train would get on, they'd see me, and then walk to a different train car, would say nothing to me. You could just tell by the look in their eyes. They didn't want anything to do with me, so they would just walk to a different car and avoid me altogether. And, you know, one of the biggest things that people told me as I was doing research and online, everybody says, no, Japan's a nonsense place to go. People are so friendly and they're so kind. That's not exactly true. If their job isn't a tourist job where they're required to talk to people every day, then they're not going to talk to you. They're going to ignore you. They're going to keep their heads down and just go about their day. And in understanding that, Japan is a very depressive society. You go to work and you go home, and your room is a little 8x8 room. That's all you got sometimes. And you go to work, you go home. You go to work, you go home. And that's all you do every day. So while Japan puts on this image of being almost perfect and everybody's happy and they're welcoming, that's the layer that they want you to see. And as Christians, sometimes that's how we act, is we put on this idea of perfection and we want people to see that we're doing okay, we're deep down inside, we're struggling and we're broken. Japan has the highest suicide rate in the world among men and women because all they do is work. There is not a whole lot of free time. There is no time to socialize with friends. Your average 9-to-5 job that you think, oh, they're working in an office, they get off at 5 o'clock every day. It's an unspoken mandatory overtime. If you're not leaving, you know, 3 or 4 hours after the workday ends, then you're not doing things right. They hold a big emphasis on family and traditional values. The predominant religion in Japan is Buddhism, but none of them practice it. They just keep doing it because their family's done it for generations. At the top of the mountain where I was staying at is one of the oldest shrines in Japan. People from all over would come and pay homage to the shrine. And you would watch the cars drive up and down the mountain, or watch people walk up and down the mountain. But they were just doing it because that's what society told them they had to do. And in seeing all this, I look back and I see a broken church in America. We have so many issues wrong with ourselves, not just as individuals, but a church as a whole, that there are things that we should probably be working on inside and outside. And it made me realize that there's a perfect couple of verses, not just one single verse, but there's a couple of verses that perfectly describe how the church can fix it, because acknowledging the problem allows you to fix it. If you don't ever acknowledge that there's a problem with you, you're going to spend the rest of your life just living in blissful ignorance. Everything's fine. Everything's okay. And more power to you if you can live like that, but I know most of us can't. So the verses that came to mind, if you have your Bibles, turn there, Matthew 7:1-6, and I'll read it out loud in case you don't have your Bibles, or you can read it on the screen if you can see the writing. And of course, in Matthew, lays out everything pretty well organized when Jesus is talking to people. And it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, John, what does that have to do with mission trips in Japan? Like I said, I didn't do much of the evangelism. I talked to people, locals that would come out and ask us what we were about and things of that nature. And we would talk through broken English and a translator most of the time, because as much as I tried, I couldn't learn Japanese to save my life. I know three words. That's how to say excuse me, hello, and thank you. That's excuse me is sumimasen. Of course, hello is konnichiwa. That's a pretty simple one to learn. And then thank you is arigato. I don't know how to roll my R's, and they have a lot of R sounds in their language. It was very difficult to communicate sometimes. But as I was there and I was able to work, and if you've ever done physical labor and you do it 5 days a week, there's a lot of time where you just get to sit there and reflect as you're hammering nails or you're painting or you're doing just some menial task. There's hours upon hours where you just get to sit and reflect as you're thinking, why am I doing this? What really made me come out here and do this? And that's what I was able to do. And then I go in the evenings and I'm reading my Bible and I'm looking at pictures of home, or I'm on social media, and because I'm using Japanese internet, their news is what I'm seeing, and I'm looking and I'm seeing America through their eyes, and I see how much they judge us because of how broken we are. And Pastor David brought it up before I left. He was encouraging me, but he was also being a realist with me about, you know, there's a lot of issues here. You know, so when you go, it may not be all sunshine and rainbows while you're there in Japan, but remember that there's issues in our own backyard that we have to deal with. And that stuck out to me as I was there. And that those verses come to mind because for us, we as Americans judge the rest of the world a lot of times. And you may not want to admit that you judge the world, but you do. Deep down you do. I do. I did. Biggest lie that was told to me before I went to Japan, everybody speaks English. No, they don't. Nope. Again, if their job is not tourist-related, they don't speak it. And even though they're practicing it and learning it in school because their parents are making them to, nope, they don't speak it. There were many times that I would sit there and look at somebody who was talking to me in fluent Japanese. Huh? What? I had no idea what they were saying. You know, my phone would translate. It only goes so far sometimes. Most of the time, I translate it and then I point. This is what I want. And 9 times out of 10, it was wrong when they brought it to me. But, you know, you live with what you get sometimes. So, I say all that to say this, is that we cannot be hypocrites in judging other nations. Japan is a nation that is so ripe for missions opportunity. Before I left, I told you the statistics of what it was like to be a missionary over there. For every 16,000 people, there's one missionary. And that number is just what they said. And then when I was over there and I met the missionaries and I got to talk to people, it's way worse. They need way more help. The church that I was attending over there was an international church. That pastor had been doing it for almost 30 years. He turned 65 while I was over there, and I joked with him. I said, well, that's retirement age. What are you going to do? Keep working. And he hinted at, oh, well, maybe you should come over and take my position. I mentioned that to my wife. If you've ever heard a sterner no, please let me know, because she put her foot down harder than it's ever been put down before and told me no. But the missionaries and the people that have been there helping to build the church and to spread Jesus' word in Japan, they're retiring. They're getting old. They can't do it anymore. And the same goes for America. You look at the churches today, pastors are aging out. Nobody wants to take over these jobs because they're difficult. They're mentally taxing to handle this world that we're in. So don't be a hypocrite and judge another nation for their lack of Christianity when here in America, Christianity is struggling just as much or even more You know, they have that blissful ignorance that I was talking about, because half of them have never even heard of Jesus. Whereas we have four churches on the same city block sometimes, so we have no excuse for knowing who Jesus is. We don't have an excuse for not being willing to go out into the community and help those in need and encourage them to come to church and to know Christ. So that's the big talk about it. Let me introduce you to the team that I was with. So that gentleman sitting on the couch with the do-rag, his name is Darren. Darren is from Canada. He's lived in Japan for over 30 years as a carpenter. He's not saved. We spent many, many hours through our time working, talking. Whether I had an impact on him, I don't know. Maybe he'll get saved, maybe he won't. But we spent many hours discussing the Bible and talking about what it meant to be a Christian, because under the Buddhist ideology, you know, there is not a real moral code. You're being good for goodness sakes. And then at the end of the day, that leaves you feeling empty. Whereas a Christian, we're good because Jesus calls us to be good. We have that fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. So there was a lot of talks of comparing Buddhism to Christianity and how Buddhism, the ultimate goal is nirvana, to leave yourself feeling empty and nothingness. As a Christian, that's baffling, because we don't want to feel nothingness. We want to feel Jesus' embrace every day that we wake up. The younger guy with glasses, his name is Eleazar. He was from California. He had been living there for 2 years doing English teaching and music ministry. He is an amazing, amazing singer. Better than I will ever be by a landslide. He had spent 2 years with him, and he only spent a month with us because he was moving on to a different company in Japan to build guitars to expand his music ministry. When you have that gift of music, it's very hard to find avenues for it that just aren't associated with church. But he was going into the workforce. He was building guitars and sharing his love of Jesus through music. The gentleman on the end with his eyes closed enjoying the food is Gary. He was from Seattle. He had only been saved 3 months before he came to Japan for 2 weeks. He got saved. Somebody had told him about missions, and he decided to come for 2 weeks. And then, of course, there's me. But y'all already know me. So the work was physically demanding for four people. And at the last month, it was just me and Darren. So when you have two people, that requires a lot of work. It was very taxing. We spent the first month just tearing off old siding and putting up new siding. For those of you who work with siding, it was all old and rotted, and there was tar paper underneath. It was a gross job. Your fingers were sticky. You were smelly every day. And then we put up a concrete particle board. This right here, that's probably the most difficult deck I've ever put up. If you notice, underneath the ground ran at an angle, so we had to sit there and spend hours cutting the right angle, making sure that it would stay when we put weight on it to put this deck up. We had to reattach all of the AC units. They don't have central heating and air over there. Every room has its own personal heater and AC, which sounds like a great concept because you can change the temperature of whatever you want it to until you got to go outside on the third floor and move that compressor on and off siding. And I'm a big guy, right? That siding is for Japanese people, not American people. And I am not as young as I once was. And I know some of y'all are looking at me, oh, you're still young. I'll be 28 in July, but my knees felt like I was 60 some days, climbing up and down all of this scaffolding. It was a fun time. We put up awning. This is the finished product of this side. The plastic awning on the top will go on in September when the next team comes in and the scaffolding's down. But as you can see, it angles downward because we're on the side of a mountain with a lot of stuff. So again, looks can be deceiving, because when you're at the third floor of that scaffolding, you see the entire town of Ikoma. that's really trippy because you don't feel really high up, and then you look out, you're really high up on the mountain. We put up fencing. There's a sheer drop on the other side, and Japan Mission has a daycare that comes every couple of days, and there were preschoolers. So we ended up having to put up new fencing all around because it had rusted out. The moms, even though you tell your kid not to do something, they're still going to do it. Don't go to the edge. They're going to go look, just natural curiosity. So we had to put up fencing everywhere that was done. We had a playground area with things that needed to be re-varnished and repainted. Just a lot of physically demanding work. And again, this is that time that I was talking about where I was able to reflect. It was quiet. It was peaceful. Even though the city was right down the mountainside, the only thing you ever heard was the occasional siren from an ambulance. And it was peaceful and it was serene, and knowing that I didn't have to go everywhere and look over my shoulder and check to make sure somebody wasn't going to rob me. It was nice. This is the finished product. We painted the fence. We re-varnished the deck. And eventually that stuff will need to be replaced, but not for a long time now. This is the area where the kids would come and play and be a part of the community. I thought this was neat. This is just a neat picture right here. As we were taking all the scrap metal out, when you go to a scrap yard, normally you got to dump it all by hand yourself. They're very efficient. They use magnets. I don't know why we can't use magnets at our scrap yards, but those trucks, the little K trucks, I'm a big dude, and I still fit in them, so that was quite nice. So, every Saturday, Japan Mission held a little cafe for the community. It was an opportunity for people in the community to come enjoy a cup of coffee. They could practice their English, they could talk, the kids could play. The lady sitting right there, her name is Belinda. She is from South Africa. She came to Japan to speak English and to explore the world. That's one of our locals. His name was Mr. Miyori. His English was actually really well because he spent a number of years living in California running his own business before he moved back home. So just a really neat opportunity to be able to talk with people. You find different ways to reach out to the community. You don't just have to say, come to church this day or come to church that day, or we have a church event. Sometimes you have to go to where the people are. More pictures. That's kind of the siding that we were putting up. We used a concrete particle board that's supposed to last for 30 to 40 years. We'll see if that actually is true. Hopefully, I don't have to go back in 30 years and redo all the work that I did, because that would be interesting. Just some more pictures of the work. So, again, as we opened things up to the community and if people were coming, the kids, Japan holds a huge amount of respect and importance for kids. There's holidays for the kids, where all they do is celebrate the kids. Now, the kids are listening and probably thinking that's really great, but then you think about it and your parents are gonna put a lot on you to do that day. You gotta look presentable, you gotta get dressed up and nice. But with the daycare that was there, it allowed the moms to come in and the kids would be able to play with each other while we talked to the moms about being Christians and what it meant to raise your children in a Christian household. And most of the parents that came were saved. There were a few that were still trying to understand it, what it meant to be a Christian. And it's important to understand that mom that's right there had just recently converted to being a Christian. And this is where it gets kind of sad, because the rest of her family cut her off. It's important to understand that family values and family traditions and connections in Japan is everything. If your grandfather did it, your dad did it, now you're going to do it. And so on and so forth through the generations. When you go against what the family wants in Japan, you're cut off. There is no contact with the family. The family ignores you. They shut you out from things. Because she became Christian, she missed her own mother's funeral. And the family wouldn't talk to her. So I spent I spent time talking with her and telling her, you know, just because that's what your family wants doesn't mean that's what God wants. Look at Jesus' time. Even his own family didn't believe who he was. So if his own family didn't believe who he was, your family's not always going to understand the decision to become a Christian. But even though she was cut off from her blood family, she found a new family in Christ through other Christians, and she sees the joy that comes with being around other Christians and like-mindedness. The kids have fun when they're together. So there, while there was sorrow not being with her family, she still found joy in having a new family. More pictures of a cafe. Let's see. This is Elle. On the last night that he was with us, he put together a little concert to sing for people before he left. There were a lot of tears from the locals who had come to know and love him over the 2.5 years that he was there, because he moved to Tokyo, which on an island the size of Japan, you're thinking Tokyo's right down the road. Tokyo's a 10-hour trip, if you're lucky, depending on traffic. So that's like going from the coast of North Carolina to the mountains. It's not a short trip by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I mean, you could spend the $300 to take the bullet train if you wanted to, but then who wants to spend $300 on a train ticket? I didn't, that's for sure. This is one of the best pictures that I could find. Because Mount Ecoma is such a steep mountain, there were many sections where you could stand and look out over the city. And this stairwell that I'm on went all the way down to the train station and goes all the way up to the mountain where the temple is at. And people walked this. I attempted, and I got halfway, and I said, no more. But I was at the middle of the mountain, so I could go either up or down, which made it quite nice most of the time. I didn't have to walk the full mountain. But could you imagine a couple hundred years ago the people having to walk all the way up that mountain and then all the way back down? And of course, there are many other buildings in this area that line the road to the temple that people would stop at, shops and stalls that you could buy things and trade with and so on and so forth. But now that there's a road, the inside of this town is dead because nobody has to walk those streets anymore. Nobody goes into those buildings. Half of these houses, the only reason they're maintained is because the city says you have to maintain it. It's a historical district. This is the stairwell at night. It leads up to the temple. I liked it better at night because all the lanterns were on and it looked really peaceful to walk up there. And I had many people tell me, oh, as a Christian, why are you going to the temple? I simply went for the architect to see what it was like. And it was beautiful, it was peaceful, and it was quiet at night. Nobody was there. The temple's open 24/7 for people to go and explore and to pray and worship there. But I was able to walk through at night and see all of the different images that they had in there and the different statues of Buddha and so on and so forth. But I'll leave you with this as I close, that even though there's a surface level beauty to Japan, everything on the top looks exquisite. The food was immaculate. The people in the tourist areas were very nice and kind. You peel back that layer, and that's what I did. I went to the poor areas. I went to the areas where people said, no, don't go there because, you know, there's some sketchy people there. That's exactly where Jesus wants us, to go to those places where the people aren't being reached the most. Paul was there. Paul was with the worst of them at times when he was in prison. So why is it that Paul and the apostles are willing to go be with the worst of them, but we're scared to even glance at somebody who looks a little different than us? And it goes back to what Matthew wrote down, what Jesus said about not judging others just because of their appearance. And I'm guilty of it too. Every day I'm guilty of it because there's plenty of people I judge. I see what you post on Facebook sometimes, and I sit there and I question, is that really the right thing to post? You know, you judge people sometimes on their bad jokes. You judge them on the clothes that they wear, the stuff that they do to their body, things like that. You judge everybody because that's who we are as people. We see with our eyes first. But God calls us to look deeper than just with our eyes. You look at the person's spiritual soul. You look at how they carry themselves with Christ, if they do even carry themselves with Christ. And if they don't, that gives you an opportunity to talk with them. You've got to step out of your comfort zone. I knew nothing about Japan before I went over there. Yeah, I read on the news, okay, people over there speak really good English. People, that was a lie. Food's really good. That was true. I think I spent more money on food than I did anything else because I wanted to try everything. That idea of eating with your eyes rang true a whole lot. But remember this, and if you learn anything from me from my time in Japan, is that don't be deceived by what you see on the surface. And so I challenge you, you know, as I close, that when you leave from here, find ways to get out of your comfort zone when talking to people about Christ. Maybe it's the homeless person that you see on the side of the road. Maybe you go help drug addicts. Maybe you go into the prisons and you talk to people. But don't let surface level things deceive you. Because I certainly had that idea when I went to Japan. I thought Japan was this perfect place before I left, that everything was okay, but it's not. And while they have a big need for Christ too, so do we. God didn't call me to be a missionary. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me to go and to understand what it means for missions. Because eventually, as I continue my growth as a minister, maybe God will call me into a lead pastor role one day. And it's important to understand every aspect of the church, not just from working with the children, but to understanding what missionaries go through in their world. So just remember that as you go about the day. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We ask that you would help us to understand you more as we leave from here, that we can understand that there's more than meets the eye with the people around us, that we can have an open and willing heart for you to use us to reach those around us, that we can be tools and instruments to spread your word. Even if a person is saved, that maybe they've left the church and they've gone away from it, that we can lead them back to you and we can re-strengthen their relationship with you. And for the non-believer, that we can introduce them to you, that we can help them know that there's more to life than just going to work and going home. We ask that you would watch over us as we leave from here and we go about our week. But for all these things, in Jesus' name, amen.
That's all. Great job.
Amen.
Amen.
So his name is Daniel, which really has some fun. Daniel style. Every time I went to the Chinese restaurant or any of the affordable restaurants around town, they love to say, when they found out Daniel's name, they go, Daniel style. And everybody else, we were just blank from that on top of all about Daniel. That reminds me of while we do prison ministry. I'm just going to read a few verses because it ties right in. I wasn't planning on it, but after he did this, I see it very clearly. You know, if you want to see what we do, Pitt, 6 days in, started Thursday night, Pitt Detention Center. I think it's 16 weeks, Pitt Detention Center, 6 days in. And you get to see what's going on there. And on the outside, you're going, I don't want to be in that. There's no way. But once you get in there, you find out that you're bringing God with you. And when you're bringing God with you, you can be bold. Well, why do we do this? Like you said, why do we go out to the highways and the hedges? Why do we go all over the place? I'm just reading a few scriptures, and we're going to pray. Matthew 25:36, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Hebrews 13:3, remember those who are in prison and those as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Isaiah 61:1 says, and this is just a confirmation, Luke's confirmation of this, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to those who are bound. One more scripture. Matthew 25:35-40. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked or clothed thee? Or we saw thee sick or in prison or came unto thee? And the king answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done unto the least. Wow. It is so important. That was awesome, John. Very awesome. You know, judging the book by its cover. We judge books by the cover every day. And ask God to open your eyes. You know, not always is it good to Japan. You know, we don't all get the opportunity, but we all get the opportunity every day for God to open our eyes. We all get the opportunity every day. God will send people to you, and sometimes it's very uncomfortable. I've had some people lately that honestly, it was very, very, very uncomfortable. And sometimes I knew I had to be on guard as I was helping these people, but at the same time, I was thinking about that. I was hungry, and he took me in. I was hurting. I was destitute, and he took care of me. So think about this, that sometimes when you're entertaining strangers, you're entertaining angels of the Lord. Amen? God's called us. Japan. Edward. Washington, New Bern, Pamlico County, of course, overseas, right here. Again, there's so much that needs to be done. And the sun is setting. And when you stand before the Lord, is he going to look at you and say, welcome, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in some small things. Welcome to the joy of the Lord, and you're going to be given large things. You've been faithful in small things. God's got us. God's got us. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it costs you. But I promise you, in the end, whatsoever you do in word or deed, I'm finished up that one we have. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. There was some ministers that were in a city, going to a camp meeting in a city. And while they were sitting at the table, a waitress came up, and the Spirit nudged one of the ministers and said, tell that woman that I love her. And he said, Lord, we got to go to camp meeting. I got to get ready. I'm even going to be speaking tonight. I don't have God. And she come back by again. She was waiting. And the Lord said, tell her that I love her. And he said, do you realize how busy I am, God? I'm getting ready to go preach at a camp meeting. And she came by two or three more times. And God kept telling her, tell him kept telling him, tell her I love her. So he said, I'll come back after the service if I got more time to talk to her. So he went to the service. As he's coming back, walking down the sidewalk, there's EMS at the restaurant. He walks in, and he finds out that girl had committed suicide. And she left a note that said, nobody loves me. Get out. Do something. If you want to go to Japan, go to Japan. John will tell you how to get there. But I also dare you, not just to go to Japan, and I'll commend John for what he did very, very much. But now, I dare you to talk to your neighbor. Talk to that person that you really don't like to talk to. Talk to that person that when they start talking, it's like fingernails going down the chalk. Yeah. You know what? You may be the one that God's saying, tell them I love them. I mean, God's awesome. That's all, Steve. Mm-hmm. Thank you again, Johnson. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. I commend you for going to that temple, too, because, you know, if you hadn't have gone to that temple, if you'd have pushed it to the side because you're a Christian, hadn't gone, that would be legalism. When you go to prison, you don't just go in there and just minister to the Christians, minister to the Muslims. I can't tell you the Satan worshipers that got saved, delivered, and even in V5, a Satan worshiper that was from a cartel in California, after about the fourth week, in that back room when I'm talking to him in the box, he gave his heart and life to the Lord. And a few months later, before he got ready to transfer to go to prison, he said, when I come back, I want to look you up. I want you to teach me how to preach the gospel. A Satan worship. Wow. Don't ever count anybody out. Nobody. Don't count anybody out. Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't be judging. That was great. That was great way to start it, John. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, God, for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you've got us covered. You've got us where you want us, Lord, and Father, help us to bloom. Lord, let us know. Let us see. Let us understand that you've called us to this hour, to this day, for something special. We thank you for it. We trust you for it. We thank you, Lord, that John got there and got back safely with no incidences. We thank you for that, too, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You got this. We trust you 100%. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer, and then you'll be dismissed. Yes, say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
You're the Smith.